कुंजा बिहारी जया जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन्नवला गिरिवरदारी जय गोपी जन्नवला गिरिवरदारी यशोदनंदन व्रज जनरंजन यशोदनंदन व्रज जनरंजन जमुना तीरावर चारे जमुना तीरा बने चारे जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय जय गोपी जनवल्लभ की वरदारी जय जय गोपी जनवल्लभ की वरदारी यशोदनंदन व्रज जनरंजन यशोदनंदन व्रज जनरंजन जमुना तीरा बन चारे जामुना तीरा बन चारे जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राज श्री समर भाषानंद भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी शिल्पोपाद की जय इस कंद फाउंडाचार्य शिल्पोपाद की जय गोटी वैष्णविंद की जय नामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की जय प्रेम सिंह हो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गरारा श्री बासरी गौर भक्तविंद की जय श्री श्री राधा मारव गोविंदा श्याम कुंदरार कुंद गोवधान की जय श्री वृंदाम श्री मथुरधाम की जय नवदीप मायापुर धाम की जय श्री जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की जय गंगमाही जमुनमाई की जय तुलसी देवी भक्ति देवी की जय सांग वैर भक्तवृंद की जय हरिनाम संकीर्तन की जय श्रीमद भगवधाम की जय जय निताय गौर प्रेमानंदे ऑल ग्लोरियस टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज. Glory to the assembled devotees. All glory to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru Gauranga, glories to Sri Prabhupada. This morning we'll read from Sri Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 19. Yeah? Entitled, King Yayati Achieves Liberation. Text numbers 14 and 15. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. What's on the board? No. 15. Takes 15. Yada na kurute bhavam sarvabhuteshu amangalam samatrishtesh tada pungsam pungsaha sarvaha sukhamaya dishaha. Yada na kurute bhavam sarva bhuteshva mangalam samadhishtestara pungsa sarva sukhamaya disham. Yada na kurute bhavam sarva bhuteshva mangalam samadhisthestara pungsa sarva sukhamaya disha. Yada na kurute bhavam sarva bhuteshva mangalam samadhisthestara pungsa sarva sukhamaya disha. Kuru te bhavam sarva bhuteshva mangalam samadhisthestara pungsa sarva bhuteshva mangalam. Na. Not. Kurute. Does. Bhavam. Sarva-bhuteshu, to all living entities, amangalam, inauspicious, samadrishte, because of being equipoised, tada, at that time, pungsha, of the senses, sarva, all, shukamaya, in a happy condition, Dishaha, directions. Translations, when a man is non-envious and does not desire ill fortune for anyone, he is equipoised. For such a person, all directions appear happy. Please repeat, when a man is non-envious and does not desire ill fortune, for anyone, he is equipoised. For such a person, all directions appear happy. Purport by Zavangai Sesi Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Prabhupada Saraswati said, Vishvam Purna Sukhayate. When one becomes Krishna conscious by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, for him the entire world appears happy and he has nothing for which to hanker. On the Brahma-Bhuta stage or the platform of spiritual realization, there is no lamentation and no material hankering. Na sochati, na hankshati. As long as one lives in the material world, actions and reactions will continue. But when one is unaffected by material actions and reactions, he is to be considered free from the danger of being victimized by material desires. The symptoms of those who are satiated with lusty desires are described in this verse. As explained by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti, when one is not envious even of his enemy, does not expect honor from anyone, but instead desires all well-being, even for his enemy, he is understood to be a paramahamsa, one who has fully subdued the lusty desires for sense gratification. Text 14. Translation. As supplying butter to a fire does not diminish the fire, but instead increases it more and more, the endeavor to stop lusty desires by continued enjoyment can never be successful. In fact, one must voluntarily cease from material desires. It's a short purport. One may have enough money and enough resources to satisfy the senses, but still not be satisfied. For the endeavor to stop lusty desires by enjoying can never be successful. The example given here is very appropriate. One cannot stop a blazing fire by trying to extinguish it with butter. Om Agyanandananda Syagyanandana Sakaya Chakshuruna Chandra Tashmai Sri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutare Simati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitya Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharine Nevishesha Shandavari Paschachati Satarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasari Gaur Bhakta Vrindam Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Translation again. As supplying butter to a fire does not diminish the fire, but instead increases it more and more, the endeavor to stop lusty desires by continual enjoyment can never be successful. In fact, one must voluntarily cease from material desire. When a man is non-envious and does not desire ill fortune for anyone, he is equipoised. For such a person, all directions appear happy. Anyone want to be happy? Okay, here it is. Here's your secret. Be non-envious. Don't desire ill fortune for anyone. That's it. Simple, huh? Simply said. Don't be envious of anyone, and don't desire bad for anyone. But the previous one, one has to stop sense gratification as a means of achieving that happiness that we want, because it doesn't work. The soul cannot be satisfied in matter. So this is the illusion is, first of all, that we're the body. So then we need to satisfy the desire for happiness, because happiness is our constitution, Ananda. But when we look to satisfy externally in the material energy to satisfy those desire to be happy, then that is called Maya. It never ends. There's no end to the search. And that's our own practical experience. When we have happiness, how long does it last? And the space, the time you're actually enjoying, and the space in between the enjoying, what's the difference? It's a vast difference, right? The endeavor we have to put in to get that enjoyment takes much longer time than the actual enjoyment lasts. And then you have to endeavor again a great length of time before you can achieve that objective. So that's the nature of the material world. It's flickering. The happiness is there. A sense of happiness is there, no doubt. But it's flickering and we can't hold it. But the endeavor to achieve it is far greater in the terms of time and than energy we have to put in. That's our own experience. So it really doesn't pay. It's not a very good proposition. But there's no alternative. So everyone continues like that. But the Krishna and the Bhagavatam is given the alternative. There is an alternative. You've heard a slogan, Krishna consciousness, a positive alternative. Otherwise there's no alternative for sense gratification. To deny sense gratification, that's the process of yoga. Also the jnana is to deny the senses, the pleasure, but the objective is pleasure. The objective of life is pleasure. Right? We want to be unnatural to be unhappy. So the objective actually to be pleasure, but the displeasure or the work far outweighs the time for pleasure. So the material world is like that. It's called a hard struggle for existence. This is our practical experience. If we a little introspective and think about it, and it's not lasting. Even we get happiness, even we get a good deal of happiness, is still not satisfying. So this is the example of Kingayati, which was very nicely explained yesterday by Maharaj, who had full facility. We have some facility to enjoy. We have desire, we have facility. But he had, we don't have, we need, you need to enjoy, you need the desire to enjoy, you need the opportunity, and you need the facility. So King Yayati, he was the emperor. So what opportunity did he have to enjoy? What facility he had to enjoy? Nothing. Compared with what we have is tremendous. Right? Everything. He was an emperor. He had everything. But it took him, it took 1,000 years of enjoying that. Then he realized, just dawned on him one day, because he's a pious person, he had knowledge, obviously this is a Vedic days, he's a king, he has all, he has a lot of knowledge, he has his Brahmin advisors. I think we're into the, just into Treta Yuga, right? Just beginning of Treta Yuga at this age. So the people are very, very pious, they have knowledge, they understand actually the purpose of life, but it's Maya is very bewildering. And when he had everything, he had the youth of his son, Puru, strong senses, unlimited resources to enjoy. He had 50 wives. But you wake up one morning and it's just, hey, it's the same thing, right? So however much we endeavor for happiness, when we wake up in the morning, we wake up to the same situation. There's no happiness, right? Rather, you've got troubles. You've got to go to the bathroom, relieve the pain, the pressure. You have to take a bath because of the bad smells and the sickness and body odor, things that will come if you don't. And you have to dress appropriately according to the climate. Right? Then you have to eat something to give you energy to go. It's all a struggle. It's all endeavor, you know, to maintain, to stop deteriorating. So as soon as you wake up in the morning, it's the same old thing. And then when you've taken care of the problems as far as possible, then you then you have to go and work. Get out there and work. Whipping. The different clutches. So you're whipped to go and work whole day, come home in the evening. Right? And it takes you that whole day to get your food and your rent and your clothes and your children's education and their doctor bills. And right? Whole day. Everyone. And before that, you spend how many, 10 years or 15 years at school, college, university, just to learn how to get that chapatis and some pay your rent. That's what it's about. So it's a struggle. Everyone's struggling. But when you wake up in the morning, it's the same thing. So how long will it take? It took Yayati 1,000 years to realize that. He was the best. He had the best facility. He was a king, emperor. He had the best facility. But still, it was 1,000 years. It dawned on him by the mercy of Krishna. In the translation, the purport to the Prabhupada's quote in Prabodhananda Saraswati, he said, "But one becomes Krishna conscious by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, then the world appears happy." So we're actually waiting for that mercy, because the Lord in the heart that reveals, he gives that knowledge. Illumination, like it lights up. It lights up. It gives. You want realization. We're talking about here realization, the Brahma Bhuta. You want that realization to satisfy the senses materially doesn't work. Temporarily it works. Like you put the ghee on the fire, initially the flames go down. But in a few moments, when that ghee butter reaches the same temperature as the fire, it comes up bigger. So it just gets, but the more you put on, the more you try to satisfy it, the bigger the fire gets. So the sense gratification is like that. The more you have, the more you want. You don't want the same thing every time, right? So it's got to increase. So you're always trying to increase the ways to enjoy it. But it doesn't work. It only agitates the senses more. I think you can be satisfied because we think we're the doers and the enjoyers, and so we'll continue there. So it's only with what one has to have knowledge of what is actually going on, one's actual position. Otherwise, one can't take the proper steps. Prabhupada says, in fact, one has to voluntarily cease from material desires. This is in the translation. Prabhupada added this in the translation. He didn't put it in the purport because it's not in the translation. It's in brackets at the end of the shloka. It says, as supplying butter to fire does not diminish the fire, but instead increases it more and more, the endeavor to stop lusty desires by continual enjoyment can never be successful. The Prabhupada adds, in brackets, in fact, one must voluntarily cease from material desires. So it must be important, Prabhupada. He didn't put it in the purport, he put it in the actual translation of the shloka. It means there's no... You have to endeavor, you have to say no to my material sense enjoyment. You must voluntarily do it. It doesn't go away. Understand? We pray to Krishna and hoping and following the process, but it's very gradual. That way is very gradual. It'll work, right? By continue hearing Bhagavatam, all those anathas will gradually go away. By constantly hearing, chanting, those anathas will go away. But we, our perception is very gradual. How many paramahansas do we have in the movement? It's a very gradual process, and that's when it's really determined. You see, the advanced devotees are really determined. They're always engaged in devotional service, right? And Krishna says when one is fully engaged in devotional service, one attains a transcendental platform. but still the paramahansa stage is when one voluntarily gives it up. Now we're voluntary, we're giving up the pursuit for material sense gratification by staying in a mode of goodness. By following those four regulative principles, we're keeping ourselves in the mode of goodness. But you, as Krishna says, you give up the desire for sense gratification, you give up the activities of sense gratification for your own pleasure, but still the desire persists. The desire doesn't go away. Because there's some happiness, there's some relief there. And happiness is what everyone's looking for. But if one is fixed in the process of bhakti, vaidhi sadhana bhakti, then that's your actual insulation from the modes of nature. That's your insulation from the actions and reactions to material nature. As it says, as long as one is in this body, the actions and reactions are going to come and go. But one shouldn't be too worried about those things. You've got to get through life somehow or other, and you know whatever's on your hand may happen, may come and go, but they're not the main concern. The main concern in devotional life is to engage the senses for the pleasure of Krishna and the devotees. So that's what we do. So we do it physically on a physical platform. The mentality takes a little longer time. It's easy to throw the body here and there, but for the mind to actually focus the mind on the thing, it's a little difficult to harness the mind. But that's what one has to do with one's intelligence. And this is a process of vaidhi sadhana, it's a very gradual process because we're still dependent on our endeavor. And of course, the endeavor is pleasing to Krishna. And what else can we do if we can't just accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead and just spontaneously follow? Well, that's we don't have that kind of heart, that we have such attraction for Krishna, such faith in Krishna that we just do. We have faith in Krishna, we're doing, but still it's not that great. That's why But while we're doing that, while we're engaged in the process of vaidhi sadhana, then that's actually liberation. is actually Brahma-bhuta. But it's an endeavor to stay there, right? Where Prabhupada calls it imperceptible liberation. It's not karma, because by intelligence, we're fixing ourselves on the process of Vaidhi Sadhana. But there's no taste, not so much taste in Vaidhi Sadhana. The taste comes in Bhava Bhakti, or Rag Bhakti. That's what we want, but the process is Vaidhi Sadhana, because we don't have taste, but we're serving Krishna, but we'll serve Krishna anyway, without taste. And then by that serving Krishna, then Anatta Nivritti, they will go away, then the taste will come by Krishna's mercy. So that's the process of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, but it's a gradual process, because of our unwillingness actually to completely surrender to Krishna. Surrender to Krishna for his pleasure, that is. Because everyone has everyone is harboring that desire ultimately for our eternal peace and happiness. It takes a long time, because you know this is a still a selfish aim. It's the best desire you can have, material desire you can have, to become free from the material energy and to enjoy the blissful spiritualist atmosphere. But it's your actual identity. It's not your real self. Your real identity is to think of Krishna's happiness, think of Krishna's peace, Krishna's situation. How can Krishna enjoy it? This is the mentality of those liberated souls in the spiritual world. So, although we're practically liberated here, but we're not perceiving that liberation, because we're still endeavoring. It's my endeavor to stay focused in Krishna consciousness, to say no to Maya, to struggle to stay focused. So that struggle is coming. The struggle is because the attachment to Maya. Otherwise, why should it be difficult? You're not doing anything really different in the way of activities, moving the bodily parts, the bodily organs. We're breathing, we're eating, we're sleeping, we're talking, we're saying, we're hearing. We're doing the same things as a materialist, right? We're using the same organs, going through the same functions. But why is it a struggle to focus on Krishna? Because of the attachment to Maya, because the senses keep going back to Maya, which we've had a good taste of, which we've been living with, associating with for many years, if we're not fortunate enough to be born in the family of devotees. So that attachment is still there. We're not willing to give that up, because the sense of security, the sense of pleasure, the experience we got from it is valid. It's a real experience. It's what seems what we're looking for. We can overcome difficulties if we endeavor right. We can enjoy, we can experience pleasure through the senses. That's our experience. And it's a fact, but it's a very low-grade happiness. It's a very low-grade experience, because it's just a taste of what the reality is. So that's why it doesn't actually satisfy it. If you want to go that way, if you want to go the way of sense gratification, some say that, right? You indulge in as much sense gratification until you get sick of it. That used to be some so-called guru's philosophy. You just engage in sense gratification until you've had it up to there, and then you're fed up and you give it up. It doesn't actually work like that. Here it says the more you engage, then the more you want, or you want something different. You won't get fed up with it. You may get fed up with that particular sense gratification, but you'll want to move on to something else, something different. So it doesn't actually work. So if the quick way then is to actually, as Prabhupada mentions it, you voluntarily give it up. It means from the mind, because we've already voluntarily given up sense gratification from the senses by following the four regulative principles. We accept what's favorable to Krishna, consciousness, and we reject what's unfavorable. So that we're surrendering to, but we're not actually, as Krishna says, the taste is still there. We give up the engagement, but the desire is still there. The desire hasn't gone away. Because we got to have that security. We got to have that sense of happiness. We need it. We need that happiness because it's our integral part of our existence, the main part of our existence. Right? The main part of Krishna's existence is the Haladini potency. His pastimes, that's the main part of his existence because he gets pleasure in different ways from those different pastimes. He's enjoying the pleasure in different ways, rasas. So that's the reality. So you can't do without that. You can't be without that. That's the ultimate situation for that's the most natural situation for the living entity. But we haven't got it now. We've forgotten that. It's been covered. So we're in ignorance. We're looking for it somewhere else, in a temporary shadow of the reality. We're looking for it there, and we get a little flicker in taste. There is some happiness. There is some sense of security. So then we become attached to it, and until you actually get a higher taste, you actually can't. You're going to be attached to it. Right? Whatever we say, whatever we do, we're still attached to that. You know, we're still attached to it. That sense of security is nice feeling. The sense of the sense pleasure is nice. Right? So we're attached to it because it's in that we can't do without it. You can't stop that desire to achieve those two things. Sat and Ananda are your eternal nature. That's what we're missing. And chit, of course, ignorance. But the whole, we're looking for it in the Brahmanda, which is based on ignorance. So the whole concept is wrong, you see. So one has to, if you want the fast track, if you can do it, you have to voluntarily give up those desires. And that will take, obviously, knowledge. You've got to know what's going on, that there's, you've got to be convinced that there's no lasting happiness in material. There's no real satisfaction. So King Yayati is a great example for this because he had all the facility. We're still thinking if we could only adjust this, then we'd be more happy, right? Every one of us. Life would be easy if I had this, and this wasn't there, and he wasn't there, she wasn't there. I know my friends were there. It would be nice, right? We're thinking like that. Everyone's thinking to the future. Future security and happiness. Right? No? We can make it. So we're thinking like how to adjust so we can be happy in the future. So that desire won't go away. Because it's unnatural to be unhappy. Your constitution is Ananda. So that's what you're looking for. But it's not in, Ananda's not in the material world. It's a different thing. Security is not in the material world. It's in the spiritual world. So one has to come to that decision by intelligence. And voluntarily give it up. Then your advancement will be very quick. But that's difficult also, to voluntarily give it up. We don't want to give it up. Right? We don't want to say no to Maya. Difficult. when you're really endeavoring in following the principles of Vaidyasadhana very nicely, you're really absorbed, then you're actually liberated. This is the Brahma Bhuta, but you don't perceive it. So it's still not satisfying, better than anything else, but it's still not completely satisfying, right? Because it's only half the job. When you get to that a Brahma Bhuta platform, not with the realization, but just by your activities. It means you're insulated from the, by knowledge and by intelligence, you're situated like that. You're accepting the actions and reactions that the body goes through as destiny, nothing we can do about it. But we're engaged in the service of Krishna. We're just going to... But we're still pushing. We're not being pulled by Krishna. We're pushing ourselves by intelligence. So it's not. It's still not quite, not natural. But it's still the best situation to be in. This is a transmission. The best situation to be in to get Krishna's mercy. So although that those great devotees who are, you know, completely fixed, always engaged in devotional service, they're great, right? And we worship them. And they're like a little indifferent to the material, because they have made that great endeavor to situate themselves in devotional service. But still, it's coming from this, because unless that attraction to Krishna arises, then it's still the devotion will be still with mixed. It's with my own satisfaction, my own pleasure. Because now we're doing it out of duty, out of intelligence. But the heart it may not be there. Because until we actually surrender to Krishna, until we actually voluntarily give up the idea of enjoying separately from Krishna, that the enjoyment is meant for him, which actually is our greatest enjoyment when we're doing that, then we actually can't give it up. Because until you surrender to Krishna, you can't love Krishna. And you can't love Krishna until you surrender to Krishna. Problem. this is the mercy of Krishna, that he within the heart, he reveals that from one who's really sincere. That's the transmission that Krishna gives, because of your sincerity, then Krishna will reveal himself to you as much as you deserve. And then when that happens, as taste, then you can perceive your actual liberation. You can perceive the Brahma Buddha. Then you become like indifferent. He says you have no enmity towards anyone. No one's a threat to you because you have nothing to gain in the material world. We dislike people because they're a threat to our happiness and our comfort, our progress. If they're that, then they're an enemy. And if they support us, then they're our friends. But when you don't need that, when you don't need that security and happiness, when you're getting it from Krishna consciousness on the spiritual platform, then it's a much more significant and more consistent feeling of security and feeling of happiness than you got materially. So why you're not going to go back to the material from then on? You're going to get you got a better happiness, a higher happiness, and a greater sense of security. So that then you become attached to that. So you've got to transfer that attachment. We're attached to the material because we are getting some experience. But only when you get a better experience, then you can transfer that. Otherwise, it's just done by duty, by intelligence, which is not permanent, not very permanent thing, because anything could happen. You could lose it at any time. As many histories of these great yogis and people, they fell away from the practice because unless there's taste there, unless there's a higher taste, you can't give up the lower taste. Taste is what we want. Taste is what the experience is, what life's all about, what existence is all about. Krishna's experience with his devotees. So unless you get a high experience, you can't give up the lower experience. So we have faith that there is a higher experience. So we're doing that on faith. But where is that higher? Of course, you get a taste now and again. There's not much. It doesn't last very long, right? When you're feeling blissful, the bliss comes on you. You're feeling ecstatic, but it doesn't last long. But it's there to remind us that, you know, it's a reality. There is a reality, because Krishna actually gives that experience. He gives the experience of bhava in the Vaidhi, in the anatta nivritti period. Krishna gives that experience of bhava that, yeah, this is a reality. You felt ecstasy. But it's not consistent enough. It doesn't come when you want. There's no process how to get that. Right? Like in the material world, there's a process how to achieve your sense gratification. Right? You know, when the senses touch a particular object, there's a certain sensation. We know the process. Right? Self-realization. So in material, sense gratification. We know the process. But spiritually, we can't. Even if you experience ecstasy and it goes away again, there's no way you can call it back. There's no process how to get it, because that's given by Krishna, or Radharani. See, there's revelation from their part. That's the Lord in the heart. When it says, "And the Lord is satisfied," then He reveals everything. It means He reveals your relationship with the spiritual world, with the spiritual energy, that you can actually perceive your spiritual identity. And your spiritual identity is Satchidananda. So just being on the Brahma Buddha platform by intelligence, it doesn't. That's half. You've done half. The half the job is there, because now you're establishing your relationship with Krishna. This is when real devotional service actually manifests at the stage of Brahma Buddha, because then it's pure. Because there's no material hankering, lamentation. There's no lamentation, there's no hankering. Hankering for the happiness and lamenting that you didn't get it before, what we could have done from before. So that goes away. So in other words, one's disinterested in the material endeavor for those things. But you actually have to have it, a substitute, before you can actually genuinely give it up. Because you can't give up the desire for happiness and security, because it's your very nature. That's what we're looking for. That's what everyone's looking for in the material world. Only two things. You can't give it up. That Mayavad, Sanyavad. Well, Mayavad, they want the freedom. Mayavad or the Brahmavad is, they want the freedom. They want the happiness of freedom. Because the material world is struggling. So they think, you get free from that struggle, that's it. That's it. It's happiness, but it's only happiness in relation to the absence of struggle and pain. It's not actually happiness, it's just an absence of those. Your happiness begins in your relationship with the Lord. Because then it's ecstatic. In the Brahma it's just static. It's just one thing. There's no variety there. So you can't really say it's happiness. You can't perceive it as happiness. Because there's nothing to relate it to, because everything is one. There's no duality, then how can you say it's happiness? So even if it is, you won't know it's happiness, because it's just a continuous state of consciousness, feeling. But when you actually get into the spiritual planet, into the spiritual world, then there's relationships, and it's dynamic, and the dynamics change, the relationships change, the rasas change, the mood changes. So then it's like waves, like the ocean. So then you can experience the pleasure in different ways, not in just in one consistent way. So it's a much greater happiness, the happiness of the in the spiritual planets. So even if you get to the spiritual sky, you're still missing out on that actual ananda. You're not perceiving it. You're not perceiving it as ananda in the Brahmajyoti. So that's the problem of the Mayavadis or Brahmavadis, but it's a great objective. But still, you haven't achieved the actual purpose of existence. We have a purpose, And that is our purpose, is Krishna's pleasure. So until we are giving Krishna pleasure, we're not situated properly. We'll never be completely satisfied. So, you know, we're liberated now because we're here in Srimad Bhagavatam. We're only thinking about Krishna. But we're not perceiving that liberation. We're not perceiving that Brahma Bhuta. So when there's direct perception, because that's the only way spiritual life can be understood, is by direct perception. We're just hearing about it, talking about it, explaining it different ways. So we hear it this way, same thing, this way, that way. Until one time, bing, ding, ding. That's what it means. Then you hear again, ding, ding, ding. The bell goes, the light goes on somewhere. You've heard it 100 times before, because we're saying the same things all the time. Then suddenly, by the Lord's grace or something, that's what it means. And you have some realization is there. So, so this story is there to tell us it didn't work for Yayati. It's not going to work for us. If he's the emperor with all facility, all opportunity, he didn't get it. How are we going to get it? So that's why all these big people are here, the Bhagavatam, you know, they're big demigods, emperors, sages, demigods, right? or people who are really destitute on the other side. But they're there so that, you know, if these people couldn't do it, the successful ones are those that surrender to Krishna. No one else is successful. Even the most successful materialist ever existed was Hiranyakashipu. But he couldn't keep it. He couldn't hold it. So he was by hearing these narrations, then we should think, hey, why should I'm going in the same way? I want the same things as they did. I want their material security and material happiness, and it doesn't work. It didn't work for them. Why would it work for me? So that's what we're learning from these narrations, these different histories that we're given. So then it dawned on Yayati after 1,000 years of unlimited scope of enjoyment. And he woke up one morning and said, it's the same old thing. It's the same old thing. And you wake up in the morning, it's the same old thing. The endeavor to get through the day. And then he had that realization by the Lord's grace. And then Haribol gave it up. gave his son, take your youth back. Doesn't work. and then he became voluntary. He voluntarily gave it up. So then, obviously, when Krishna reveals that, Krishna, along with that revelation, there will become peace. Naturally, that is the mystery of renunciation. When you give something up, then you achieve something better. When you give up the desire for peace, you become very peaceful. The endeavor for peace, sorry. Not desire, the endeavor. We're all endeavoring for peace, right? We all want a comfortable situation. When you give that up, then you're peaceful. Right? You're nothing to endeavor for. Endeavor is a struggle. Whatever you've got to do, every endeavor in the material world, you've got to pass through time and space. And they're full of difficulties, time and space. Old age, disease, death. You've got to pass through these to get your objective. That's material life. So if you give up that objective is peace in the material world. If you give that up, you automatically you're peaceful. Right? Because you don't have to struggle your way through the time and space to achieve it. You're peaceful. The mystery of renunciation. Our sannyasis are wealthier than the grihasthas. They get given so much facility. Huh? Sannyasis, brahmacharis. You go somewhere, people they keep giving you money and giving you stuff. What do you want? You need that, you need that. And yet, if you want to make it in, you know, in the, a lot of, you want to get a lot of facility, you have to work hard. Right? Lakshmi is very chantal. If you're endeavoring to get Lakshmi, she's very difficult to get. When you give up that idea, when you just surrender to Krishna, then automatically Lakshmi comes, how can I serve you? Or Maya Devi, how can I serve you? You do that. It's a mystery of renunciation. Since you give it up, it's easily available. Give up an endeavor for it. But anyway, the endeavor will give you your... The endeavor in the material world is a problem. So that endeavor, that is a platform of peace when you stop endeavoring for material result. That's your platform of peace. And Krishna says, unless there's peace, there can't be happiness. But it starts from that peace. So one has to voluntarily come to this, voluntary, but it means from the mind, not from the intelligence. It means from the mind. That means voluntary. The mind is based on calculus, on duty. Sorry, the intelligence is based on duty, on your role, on your peer pressure. That's intelligence. But there's no rasa, there's no taste there, you see. Taste is, feeling is done in the mind. So when the mind does it, when the mind accepts it, voluntary, then that's your success. That's everyone's success. So you can wait 1,000 years, or 1,000 births, or you can go for it this lifetime. The option is there. But you're not going to be successful anyway materially. This is the point we learned. This is the knowledge that we're learning from this, and by the example of King Yayati, who was very happy when he gave it all up, became very happy and peaceful after that. And give up the emperor and 50 wives and your youth, and he was happy. Peaceful. Doesn't work. Material, but it doesn't work. That's a, that. So get out of the material world, and then establish that relationship with Krishna. This is the this is what is required for perfection. So Bhagavatam ki, Prabhupada ki jai, Bhagavad Bhaktavinoda ki jai. Hare Krishna. It's 9 if you want to go. There's a question if you want to stay. We have a mic. Matt, is he at the back? No, back. I hope.
Hare Krishna. She says that if one is in a low stage, beginning stage, and one is not able to abandon the material desires, then the question is, what can it be done?
What can be done? What are you doing?
She's on Sankirtan. She goes on Sankirtan.
Very good. I'm doing puja. Someone else does something else. Everyone is doing something for Krishna. And we're all on the lower stage, no? If you're on the higher stage, means there's no desire for your liberation, your peace, and there's no desire for your own personal happiness. That's the high stage of devotion. That's pure unalloyed devotion. They're not concerned about their welfare, their future, and they're not concerned about their happiness. That's the definition of pure unalloyed devotional service. But of course, they've already got it. When you get Krishna, you don't have to be concerned about your future, and you don't have to be concerned about your happiness, because you have it. But because we don't have that, then we're struggling. It's what we want, but at the same time, we don't want to let go of whatever's available in the material. That's our problem. So what you have to do about it is give it up. Give up the. Krishna says that you can only achieve the higher taste by giving up the lower taste. He also says you can only give up the lower taste by achieving the higher taste. A dilemma which I can understand, but but at least you situate yourself in devotional Vairi Sarana Bhakti, and then you wait for Krishna's mercy, and Guru's mercy. That's all. Waiting game, Prabhupada said. You insulate yourself by keeping absorbed in devotional service 24 hours, then you're insulated from Maya. You're liberated. But that perception, that self-realization, that's a gift. That's then you're dependent. We're waiting for Krishna to give that realization, to give that feeling. There's only one process for everyone. So whatever we do to keep engaged in accepting what's favorable for Krishna consciousness, rejecting what's unfavorable, they're the two rules we follow. Okay. Happy surrendering. Jai Sri Prabhupada ki jai.